For some designs and some systems, a failure is just not acceptable. Well, not actually the failure, because failures will occur in one form or fashion for any system, no matter how robustly designed. It's the consequence of the system. So remembering the failure modes and effects analysis, there was the part of the occurrence, how frequently a failure occurred, but there was also the severity. What was the consequence or outcome or result of a failure that occurred? So in some systems, the consequences are so significant that it is worth a redesign of the system or a accommodation in the system to prevent or mitigate or completely thwart any of those serious consequences. And so let's take a look at the fault tolerance idea and see some more about that. Right. Now, it's not only space missions that we see use of redundancy to mitigate the consequence of a failure, but you'll see it also in servers that support e-commerce, say Amazon or eBay, for example, or any of the banking type operations, is that in the having the system down or not able to take orders or allow people to shop, say at Amazon, is not acceptable. And it's worth having a high degree of ability to withstand any kind of failure within the system. So if one server goes down, an alternate backup server comes in place online to take over its job. If the page that a person wants to hit the buy button on is not being provided by one piece of equipment or by one communication node, that there's a redundant path that will allow the system to serve up that page. Backing up financial data and transaction data is a common practice in using different schemes to allow multiple levels of redundancy that allows a single failure of a hard drive to fail and no loss of data or loss of capability in the system should take place. And that's what we mean by fault tolerant, that even though an individual, say a pump, fails, that there's either a backup pump or a redundant system or an alternate path that can provide the same function to the overall system, thus allowing us to replace that pump without degrading or diminishing the capability of the overall system of which that failed pump is a part. It's also called a fail-safe design. And it means or that it fails cold is another way I've heard it called. It's basically the ability of a system to withstand component or subsystem or module level failures and keep on operating. I was once working with a supercomputer group that had, I think they had 48 CPU modules, and each module had a number of CPUs within it. Plus they had memory and power supplies and so on. Now, they knew that the power supplies were a weak element of the overall system, and so were the CPUs and the memory and many other components. But let's look at just the hard drives. Without a hard drive, the system would go down. And some of the simulations and type of packages that this computer would be doing would take multiple days, if not weeks, to finish off the calculations that were required. And having to restart would mean losing all of that time and all of the progress towards finding a solution. So the system had to fail gracefully, meaning that it protected the data, it protected the results to date, and more importantly, if at all possible, would continue with the simulations or the calculations that were ongoing. So the idea of the power supplies was that they had two and sometimes three power supplies providing power to a part of the system. So if one of those power supplies failed, the others would take on the full load and continue to operate the system. That allowed time for a repair crew to diagnose which power supply had failed and replace it. And we called those power supplies hot swappable because the overall system could still be operating at full capacity and we could replace those components. But in order to do that, we had to create design estimates of the reliability of these different parts to find out which ones would benefit from a redundancy type scheme like that. Now, there were some systems that some of the components were so reliable that it just wasn't going to be economical to account for that failure. So we've talked previously about calculating the cost per failure, and that's where these kinds of calculations come in, is that it may be a very dire consequence or important consequence. It may cost us, you know, tens of thousands, if not millions of dollars in losses if the system goes down. But would having a redundant backup or backup system available allow us any advantage? Or is the cost of creating, storing, and maintaining those backup systems, or the added complexity of the backup system, just make it not feasible? So it's one thing to design a product that just has very, very, very low failure rates and has very low likelihood to as an overall system to fail. But putting together complex and systems oftentimes requires us to use redundancy of some form or another. Now, there's a couple other things that happen with fail-safe systems, is that when they detect that there's a failure, they tend to have some capacity to shut down safely. Doesn't mean that the system has to continue to operate. A fault-tolerant system or a fail-safe design also means that it degrades gracefully. It protects the transaction data. It does a final backup. It finishes the last calculations, for example. All of those kinds of things may be part of a fail-safe design. For example, I've heard that in some laptops that they have a gyroscope that can detect when the laptop is in free fall, when somebody drops the system, the laptop. And at that point, it decides to park the hard drive. So the systems with a spinning hard drive would usually sustain insurmountable or devastating damage if they had the shock load of dropping while the disk was spinning. So in the time it takes to drop the laptop, they were able to devise a technique that would sense that phenomena, knowing that it was going to have a significant shock load. Then it would immediately park or protect the hard drive such that it would not incur as much damage, if any damage at all. So that could be also considered part of a fault-tolerant type design. So lots of different ways to think about it, but it's usually considering what failures can we just not tolerate to happen? What consequences would just not be acceptable? And then do we have a viable and economical way to either avoid the consequences completely if the failure mode occurs, or do we have ways to do backups and redundancies to mitigate the loss of some critical components? Now, there's always disadvantages, is that having backup systems or having sensors or other elements that help you make the system fault tolerant adds complexity to the system. And there's a limit. There's a limit to how well, say, that gyroscope in the laptop would be able to detect and park the drive. That does take time. And depending on the particular circumstances of the drop or the shock load, it may not have sufficient time to fully protect the system. The ability of fault-tolerant a redundant backup or hot-swappable power supplies, there is still a chance that the other power supply could fail, and then taking that part of the system down. And then how resilient to a two-power supply failure does the system need to be? So for backup storage-type devices, they may have multiple, say, 5, 6, 7 different modules that would take 3 or 4 failures before you would start losing data. again, it's a balance of, well, how much capacity do you need? How much complexity for the read-write cycles? And how expensive does it have to be in order to make sure that you protect the data that you're collecting and storing? So it becomes a trade-off, and we talked about that before. The other part of this is that, well, it's obvious that it costs more, but part of that cost is also in testing. So say for the hard drive systems, if I do a completely redundant system, do I also look at what happens at transients when a power supply fails within those systems that could corrupt data? Do we also look at the sequence of failures? If I have a power supply fail and a hard drive fail and a second hard drive fails, and then a power supply gets swapped out and creates a transient, or is it just a single failure and then we're making an assumption that it's repaired fairly quickly? What happens when there's sequences or certain patterns that occur that could cause failures? What if it's in a particular mode when it's doing a read mode or a write mode, for example, and then a particular event occurs? Very, very quickly, we can have a huge number of different test conditions or test paths that could lead to various consequences. Determining how far do we go in all of those circumstances and how much stress and how many different vectors do we want to explore becomes part of evaluating whether we have a truly fault-tolerant system or not. Well, of course, it takes some prioritization and what's important, what are the key elements that we need to evaluate, but you can see where it can grow fairly quickly depending on what kind of system you're putting together. The other disadvantage is, and I've seen this in practice, is that by designing a fault-tolerant system, whether one that is able to detect and fail gracefully or is redundant in some way, is that it allows the design team to use less expensive, less capable components, because if they do fail, the system itself is designed such that the consequences don't occur. Well, this client of mine had the issue where the cost to maintain the system, the number of repairs they were doing, was growing and becoming a significant part of the expense of operating the system. So they started looking at, well, how do they improve the fundamental reliability of the system, which had the secondary effect of improving its availability and its ability to withstand failures, mostly because the probability of 2, 3, and 4 different failures occurring at once were significantly reduced. But they also had the advantage of reducing the repair costs, because if an inferior component was built into all of your systems, the probability of failure is also much higher. And so the even if it is hot swappable or is in a redundant type system, it still costs money to bring the system back up to full capability, to maintain it. But the basic ideas with fault tolerance, and this applies to the more broad general notion of fault tolerant systems, is that as a minimum, no single point will cause the system to shut down or fail. So with my car, if I lose one tire, I have to pull over and fix that tire. It's a single point failure. One tire fails, I'm done. Even though I have 4 tires, they're not redundant. The single thing will cause it to go down. If I run out of fuel in the gas tank, the system fails, for example. Whereas if I had, say, a military vehicle that had 6 tires but only needed 4 of them to function, say, the 4 corners or 3 corners plus 1 in the middle would be sufficient for it to keep operating. In that case, they had some level of redundancy, and they would require 2 failures before that would take the system down. The other part is you got to think through, well, what happens when, say, the power supply fails? So that there's a bit of complexity to making hot swappable components, so I can keep the system running and execute a repair at the same time. So one is just access, and is it safe? But also, how does the impact of this repair on the overall system, does that create a power surge or a spike or an anomaly of some sort that may affect the performance of the system? So if you have a system that is required to be shut down to do the repair, it still could be a tolerant system. But if you have to interrupt its operation to do that, then it's not fault tolerant. Another big piece of this is you have to be able to shut down the offending components or parts of the system that are causing the failure. Can you even detect and isolate which power supply is failing? So if the system mistakenly shuts down all the power supplies when it sees one of them acting strange, but is unable to detect which one it is, then we've failed on this fault isolation idea. So it adds a little bit of complexity to a system, which then increases its probability of having individual failures. So containment is similar to isolation, is where we don't want a contagion. We don't want one failure then to cause failures in other areas. So using that power supply example, if you have two power supplies and one fails, the other one will take on the full load. Now, if that considerably changes its probability of failure, so it's much more likely to fail, it's moving that fault over to the other one by changing the probability of its failure. Even more directly is that if the act of failing, a power supply coming offline, creates an inductance on a system, so, or say a motor comes, it turns on as a backup, and it provides a huge inductive load on the system, it may cause other parts of the system to have a chance to fail or cause failure in other parts. So having one failure shouldn't cause or increase significantly the chance of failing of other components. Now there's lots of different process control and variability control and so on that applies in particular to software elements. But then there's also, Can the system maintain? Can I operate? Can I degrade gracefully? So if I lose a couple of hard drives, I may have to slow down the read-write process and reduce the chance of failure on the systems. Or a CPU that is, because of a power supply failure, other parts are running hotter, so then my CPU has to run slower to minimize the effects of heat in its own internal heating. And especially in software, if I have a failure in one version of the software, can it isolate or operate in a degraded mode, still provide the primary function, maybe just slower or with less capacity until the failures can come be remedied. So fault tolerant isn't for every product. We don't see it very often with consumer products because of the cost and complexity. But for critical systems like a chemical plant or the space shuttle or items that are have significant consequences if they fail, then it's worth the investment to think through and design a system such that no single point fails. And that's not as easy as it sounds, and it does take quite a bit of work to make that happen. But that's the basic idea of what a fault-tolerant system is. In some regards, the whole thing is looking at, well, what happens when? And thinking through all of those different scenarios that are important for your system. So what happens when this capacitor fails? Or what happens when this power supply goes offline? Or what happens when, and keep that process going. So some of it is like an FMEA, a risk analysis part. But some of it is looking through those sequences and scenarios that can cause 1, 2, or 10 different things to fail simultaneously or in quick succession. And is that important for your system to withstand? Next lesson, we'll talk about reliability optimization.